What's up, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one community for DJs where you get paid to live stream your in-person events. Today, we have Awesomest Prime. Brother, could you please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
Absolutely. So my name is Awesomest Prime. I am the Mech Warrior DJ, your favorite DJ, the nerdy DJ, hailing from New Jersey.
Awesome. We're super excited to have you on the show. We want you to, you know, dive right into your story. Talk to us about, you know, why you became a DJ. What sparked that interest? And just give us the beginning story.
So we'll kind of take like a time machine here. We'll go back all the way back, I guess. My whole family's kind of been involved with music. I am Puerto Rican, so one of the biggest parts of our culture is definitely our music. But I grew up around music and dancing and stuff as a kid and all that. And I got into wanting to create music at a very young age. I was in choir, I was in band. I started out like playing clarinet, moved on to like saxophone and all that stuff, picked up guitar, bass guitar, did a little bit of drum set. You know, I even play like tin whistle. I kind of have a passion for Irish music. So kind of just my appreciation for music and wanting to create music kind of forced me to kind of make this decision. I've been in bands and everything. I lived in Colorado for a while. I was in like three or four different bands. Three of them were like pop punk bands. I do vocals and all that stuff. And one of the things that I noticed is that sometimes trying to find people of like mind to create something like that is a little difficult. So the best thing that I came up with was, well, what could I do, you know, kind of as a solo act? What can I do just for me? So at one point I thought I would be maybe like a music producer, tried my hand at that for a little bit. Then I moved on to being like a nerdcore rapper. I am not a rapper by any means at all, but I did try my hand. I went by Sci-Fi Warrior, so that's a completely different name when I was doing that. So then I was like, you know what, maybe I'll do, you know, see if I could try my hand at DJing. I'd always been interested in becoming a DJ when I was in high school. I had a lot of friends that had done it, and watching them, I was like, man, this looks so cool. Like, I feel like I could do this. Like the ability to mix and manipulate music and kind of create something brand new from something that's familiar, it just was very intriguing to me. So I actually downloaded a DJ app on my iPad. And that was kind of my start. From there, it was just messing with the iPad and the program, learning how to beat match, finding music to work really well with that. And then people started introducing me into a bunch of other different EDM genres and stuff. I already had my full appreciation of music because I love, for the most part, all genres of music. Even genres I've never even heard of, when I first hear them, I'm like, this is so cool. Like, I love listening to just music and other cultural music and stuff like that. So kind of incorporating that into what I was spinning at the time, kind of teaching myself how to do this, I finally kind of figured out how to do it. So I got the skills that way. So then about a year later, I finally got my first like actual DJ controller, started messing with the jog wheels, all the buttons, learning how to actually use the hardware with the software to make that all happen. Hours and hours and hours of driving my wife crazy, playing the same song over and over and over and over, to the point to where if she's present at my DJ gigs, I can't play that song. So, which is absolutely okay. But it was just a lot of practice and learning how to do that. So from there, it was pretty much the grind, you know, trying to get yourself into clubs and bars and just trying to get yourself into that scene to go from bedroom DJ to working DJ. And I kind of got my break in Ohio. I was living there for a little bit, and I was actually a bouncer at a nightclub up there. And I just happened to ask one day, hey, you know, can I be your opening DJ? Like, you know, I kind of pestered the crap out of them, and I felt bad, but it paid off. In about 2 weeks of finally, you know, phone calls and talking to the right people and everything, because I had made friends with everybody at the club anyway, they were like, yeah, you can spend for like an hour, you know, before our house DJs come on in, and that's that. And the cool thing is I made really good friends with the house DJs up there, and they were nice enough a lot of the time that when I was spinning already for that like opening set, that preset, they would let me spin for another hour. So I'd have like 2 hour sets, you know, at least like once a week. Wasn't getting paid for it, which is kind of, you know, kind of a, you know, sad situation, but I was there. I was on a giant, you know, DJ booth high above the dance floor, looking down on everybody, just having a blast, just throwing down all this top 40, just getting people like pumped up and ready for, you know, the real show, as it were, once the house DJs got on. And from there, that kind of gave me the confidence, wow, I can do this. I can actually make this happen. I can really do this. So I started DJing at a lot of the other bars, nightclubs, and after-hours spots that were out there. And it's kind of funny because I'm definitely an open-format DJ, but I do kind of have my niche in the EDM community. And because of that, I was starting to kind of get known more as the trap DJ, because I was spinning a lot of hybrid trap at the time, a lot of just really grimy, bass-heavy stuff. And one of the after-hours spots kind of picked me up as their closer. For a while, they'd always hit me up, oh, you should come on out, you know, we'll get you drinks, you know, we'll give you a little bit of money, whatever is that, you know. So they shared whatever, you know, they got at the door with me, which was really awesome. So that was like my first like real paid gig was from them. I was like, wow, that's so crazy. But one of the big ones that kind of solidified who I became was this small bar. That I say small bar because the location itself was small, but they were always packed shoulder to shoulder every weekend because it was the college bar, because it was a college town that I was living in. And they would do periodically these cosplay dance parties. Now, I'm a big nerd. I've always been into anime and video games and comic books and all this stuff since I was a kid. And that pretty much kind of solidified who I am as a DJ and what I wanted to do, because I had this dream that I wanted to DJ for conventions, for like Comic Cons and stuff like that. And kind of fast forward a little bit, I moved back to New Jersey and I started back on the grind. I had to do it all over again. I got booked at some of the local bars, one nightclub, and I kind of finally got my big break into the convention scene. I found a very small convention that was just starting up. They had like no budget, no nothing. So I did the job for free. They said, when we do it next year, we got you. The next year came around, they did. So they, good convention, amazing convention. It's a Nerdtino Expo out of Philly. It is a comic convention, or I guess a pop culture convention dedicated to showcasing Latinos, Latinas, Latinx, Hispanics in the nerdy community, comic creators and authors and stuff like that. So it was really, really cool. And I've been their DJ for like 3 or 4 years running now, which is awesome. But they kind of pushed me forward and gave me that next level of confidence that I could do this. I could DJ for conventions. I could be the convention party DJ that I've always dreamed of being. So I went to New Jersey Gamer Con, performed there, got linked up with them. Now I'm really good friends with the owners of that convention. So I help them out with their show and I also get a performance from them. But then from there, I started hitting the anime and gaming convention circuit. And that is like my bread and butter. I have been to Zenkai Con and Blurred Con, MAGFest, like some of these big conventions where I'm on these stages with, you know, like hundreds of thousands of people, you know, there ready to just go nuts in cosplay with glow sticks and poi and just it's probably the craziest thing. And I wow. Love that this is what I do.
Wow. This is an amazing introduction to this interview, man. And I've never shared this before to the viewers, but I am a huge anime fan.
Oh my God.
This is super exciting because I know my love for anime, and then just being able to do your job at an anime convention. Wow, this is amazing, brother. And you are showing how being persistent allows you to get the things that you want in life. Like, you always had a love for music and you just try to figure out how could you be involved in music in a capacity that works for you and your career. And you just practice a lot. And then you just were persistent over and over again, even when you were a bouncer at a club, and you use that persistence that you have to get into as a gig, and you just were able to just keep on going and find opportunities in unique places. And kudos to you just having that drive to sure things happen, and you're aligning it with what you are comfortable with, what makes you feel great. And that's perfect. You're making money doing what you love, and additional at places that you love. This is amazing. This is like the perfect story of how to be happy in your career. And you're showing people how to do that, man. What's some things that were difficult in this journey? And, you know, I know sometimes it's like you have a hard time in regards to just believing that things are going to work out. Did you ever have any of those moments in your career or your journey where there was like a lot of doubt in just the direction you're going? And how did you overcome those things?
So actually, when I moved to when I moved back to New Jersey, there was doubt. I don't live in a highly populated area. I kind of live like in the middle of the woods. So any gig that I was going to search for was going to be kind of a trek to get to, which I don't mind driving. It wasn't really the distance, but it was having to go to those places to speak to those people to see if there's a need for it, anything like that. Because I do have a bar that's kind of down the street from me, which I do DJ at. Actually, I was there once a month. We were doing Flashback Fridays is what I was doing for them. And which was a lot of fun because I was doing a lot of like old school hip hop. And this bar is interesting. They love Wu-Tang Clan, Biggie, and then country music. That's what they want to hear. It is the wildest mix. But every time I show up, they're always so excited that I'm there because they're like, oh, awesome, it's Prime's here. We're going to get a crazy show. But it took me a while of kind of talking with them before I finally even got a gig with them, let alone these other places that I'd reached out to. So there was a good few months where I was kind of doubting being a DJ because I, you know, moved from Ohio where I was DJing almost every weekend up there, and I moved back to New Jersey and it was kind of like nothing. So I was just DJing on my own. Just kind of like in my room, just, you know, yeah, because, you know, you got to play, you get the urge, you got to do it. But yeah, so there was a time where I was kind of just like, man, I don't know if this is what I want to do. I don't know if this is going to be it for me. Like, what am I going to do? So kind of sat down with my wife and she said, well, why don't we make, you know, this a business? Why don't we actually start like a business and we do private parties? We'll do weddings, we'll do birthdays, we'll do, you know, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, you know, all that stuff, corporate events, all that. So we kind of focused on creating that aspect of it, got it registered with the state and everything and in the county. And I think once that happened, I kind of feel like that lit a fire under my butt because then I started hitting a bunch of people as far as places for me to DJ out. And I kind of put together a whole packet and everything. So I would actually show up to bars with this like very professional looking like notebook. Like, this is what we offer. This is what I can do for you. Because aside from doing the DJ stuff, I also do run karaoke. I also do run trivia nights. We also do like music bingo and stuff like that. So being able to present more that we could offer to an establishment, I think, is what kind of got us in the door. Because there was one location, they weren't looking for a DJ. But then when I mentioned that I do trivia nights, they were like, hold on a second, you trivia? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, all right, give us a call back in 3 months, which was so weird to hear. Give me a call back in 3 months. But within those 3 months, I did give them a call back and they said, yes, we are actually prepared and ready to start doing a trivia night, a weekly thing. So they brought me on board. And I think after our first like 3 or 4 trivia nights, they booked me to be a DJ at their establishment as well. So I did, what did I do? I think I did a Cinco de Mayo for them, which was crazy because they have a huge Cinco de Mayo party. I also did St. Patrick's Day and Dia de los Muertos. I did for them as well, which was kind of cool. They even did something like that. So I thought that was really, really epic. But yeah, so I'm glad that I did what I did because I think it rekindled the motivation. But yeah, definitely persistence.
That's awesome, brother. I think that this is a super amazing story to tell because you showed that you had a hard time at one point, mm-hmm. and based on the support of your wife, you were able to just kind of relaunch a new business around your passion of DJing. And you were creative and you were professional and you took the steps it takes to put yourself in places where you can succeed. And, mm-hmm. and it's one thing that DJs need to do. He didn't just go and say, oh, let me DJ. He came prepared with a package of his offerings and it was well put together. It was professional and he showed them what he can do beyond DJ. And that's very important that you got to get creative and show your value beyond just being a DJ. Everyone is made with unique skills and you have to be able to utilize those skills to make your business appeal to other people. There's so many DJs out there. What are you going to do to differentiate yourself? And if you're listening to this right now, what are your skill sets that allow you to add more value than just DJ? And mm-hmm. that's what my brother just told us. And I think that you all need to just realize what skills can I add to add value to our clients? And that's going to allow you to get more clients and more business. So kudos to you for figuring that out. Big out, shout out to your wife for pushing you and motivating you and being a support system to you, because it's not easy to do it by yourself. You know, when you have someone that's supporting you and helping you along the way in those ruts where you don't feel as confident, you have people that's going to bring you out and help you move forward. And that's super beautiful to have in a partner. So great job to your wife. I would love to, you know, where did you go from there, and talk to us a little bit more about, you know, where did you progress from there and leading on to the present where you are now?
So from there, definitely started getting booked for some things. We did a few weddings. I don't know if it was because we're kind of a small outfit, you know, because it's really just me and my wife. If that was what made people either just not see us or kind of just take a pass, which is completely understandable, because one of the things that we wanted to offer was a very comprehensive one-stop like DJ experience for a lot of people at a price that would fit their budget, because not everybody has these giant budgets for like a lot of the larger DJ companies out there and everything. And it's not that I was trying to undercut anybody or anything. I just wanted to fit within the market for people that still needed that type of service. And that's just, like I said, it's a two-person outfit. So, I mean, I don't have to worry about maintaining a warehouse or all these other DJs and my business expenses and all that stuff. So it really was just the two of us kind of operating out of our, you know, home and a storage unit. That's really it. So from there, we started doing a lot more parties. I added something else here. If you guys want to do this, if you think you're good enough and you have the personality to do it and you think you've got the professionalism to go for it, I also did do the online ordination to also be a an officiant. There you go. To be an officiant for weddings. So I would literally offer a full package, which I actually did do a wedding for my brother-in-law. I was their officiant, so I married them legally within the state, and then I also was the DJ for the reception as well as the MC. So I was the full package, which is something that I do offer. So if you think you've got the if you got the drive to kind of be the one-stop shop, go for it. I know a bunch of other DJs that have done it. I also have met a lot of older DJs that used to do that and said, you know, when they started getting older, they just couldn't deal with having to do everything, going in, setting up, getting ready, mindset, officiate the wedding, then go MC and DJ the reception and then break everything down like all by themselves. So take that into consideration. I will say that. But as things kind of progress, my career as this like convention DJ also kept growing, and that almost became my number one source. It became my number one source of A, income, but B, gigs, which I thought was wild. So within the tri-state area, I'm not going to say I'm famous, but I'm pretty well known among a lot of anime conventions, which has shown through the pandemic and everything, because a lot of conventions switched over to a virtual format. And I have been contacted by a lot of conventions. Hey, are you able to do this? Are you able to DJ like on Twitch or, you know, Discord or through a stream? Can we do this? Yes. And then the other biggest question they always ask is, are you able to play copyright free music? And I am. I actually have a very large library of music that I am able to play that fits within what they want. That also, they're not going to get, you know, any DMCA strikes or anything if they're doing it through Twitch and stuff like that. Fast forward as well through the pandemic, I picked up music production again. I actually just released an album in February, a small EP, 6 tracks. It's called Who's the Master. It's actually based off of the 1985 movie The Last Dragon, which is a huge, I love that movie. It's been a favorite of mine since I was a kid. And from there, I also just recently have started my own independent record label that's dedicated to producing music inspired by anime and video games and comics. So that's really my niche. That's kind of where I fit. Doesn't mean that's the only thing I do, but that is a huge part of my whole, I guess, market. That is what Awesomest Prime is about. If you couldn't guess from the name, obviously, that's where we're at.
I absolutely love it. And I think that it's a testament to show that the ability to be able to combine your passions with things that are going to make you happy is really how you live a fulfilled life. You know, you can go the rest of your life just knowing that you're doing things that are making you extremely happy. And there's a lot of joy in that. And I think that you've really figured out a formula to happiness. So keep it up and keep inspiring other people to do the same.
Absolutely. Because
we all can do it with our unique personalities and our unique traits and things that we like to do and our unique hobbies. And I think that just finding ways to monetize these things through DJing or other channels is very important to live a happy life. Now, I would love to hear, you know, first of all, what's your favorite anime?
Oh man, that's a big question. Okay, so I have a lot of answers for that. My favorite of like all time is this old anime that came out in the 80s called Devil Hunter Yoko. Like nobody's ever heard of it. If I had to pick my favorite like popular anime, probably Dragon Ball Z.
Awesome. I just had to ask for personal reasons, but also back into the DJ stuff. Like, what is some things that people should do today if they want to get started as a DJ in today's environment?
Like right from ground zero?
Right from ground zero.
So my biggest thing is if you want to get into DJ, there's two things you need to realize. One, DJing is an expensive hobby. I feel like people don't get that because like if you want to be a musician, you can go buy a guitar for a couple hundred dollars or even under $100. I mean, you can get like $99 guitars and you can start and you can rock out and start a punk band like immediately right from there. With DJing, you have to not only pay for the hardware, you also have to pay for the software, the music libraries, getting into all that stuff. There's a lot of money that goes into doing what we do. But there are free software programs out there, so look for them. They do exist. And my biggest kind of like piece of advice is play music that you already like and learn to beat match. That I think is probably number one when it comes to being a DJ. You know, don't worry about trying to do remixes. Don't worry about trying to, you know, think you're going to be one of these, you know, giant EDM artists on stage, you know, because everybody wants to be Steve Aoki or Skrillex or Marshmello or, you know, whoever the heck you like. Start small. Figure out exactly what kind of music you want to DJ. Learn actually how to DJ. And look for the avenues that fit within your budget at first. Because, I mean, you can get a DJ controller for as cheap as $99 brand new. Or, I mean, shop around. You know, there's a lot of places, there's a lot of people that are selling their old controllers that still work just fine with any of the software. So that's kind of my biggest thing. That's my biggest piece of advice to anybody that's starting out.
Awesome advice, man. And what are some things that you are focused on today and in the future? And then how can me, the club, and our audience help and support you?
So right now I'm focusing very heavily kind of on the production and record label side of things. Not that I'm going to stop DJing for weddings because I actually already have some booked for this year. That's kind of my major focus just because I kind of switched gears a little bit because I don't know, it became more fun for me, I guess. I'm still doing what I love, but it's a different aspect. So moving forward from here, I'm hoping to kind of start DJing more in like the EDM circuit, the festivals, and stuff like that. So I have made some connections. I'm getting my music into people's, you know, ears and kind of trying to build that up. So that's really my main focus right now is trying to build my audience there. So if you like dubstep and rhythm dubstep, that's the kind of music I'm producing right now. But I also make lo-fi and stuff too, because I love all types of music.
Awesome. And at this time, we're going to jump into the lightning round. Before we do that, do you have any other pieces of advice or things that you want to say to the audience?
Pieces of advice. Be yourself. Do you, and don't listen to somebody else telling you how you should do it, because their level of success and method may not work for you. That would probably be my last little bit of advice for right now.
Love it. Lightning round time. Ready? Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
So mostly I use a Neumark iDJ Pro, which is an amazing controller that you can't find anywhere. That's the hardware that I go for, and Algorithm DJ is my software. Other than that, mobile DJ wise, I use a 4-foot collapsible table with a spandex tablecloth. I have a T-bar light set up with some par lights on it and a little disco ball. And I run 2 top speakers and sometimes a small 900 watt woofer, depending on the event.
Who's your favorite DJ?
Oh my goodness. Who's my favorite DJ? I always say Nicky Romero, just because his music, like, it moves me internally. Something about what he produces always seems to scratch at my emotions a little bit.
What has been your favorite party or event you DJed at and why?
All right. So I've got two. So Zenkai Con, which is a big anime convention in Lancaster, PA. They were kind of the convention that like launched my whole, like, I guess like Optimus Prime career, as it were. Just there was so many people at that event. I gained so much like visibility and everything. And it was the wildest event that I ever, that I've ever done. And then the other one is Blurred Con, which is down in Washington, DC. It's a big POC convention. And that party was the most wild thing that I've ever done. And both of those shows were kind of the first time that I really had started spinning Jersey club music, which I think was, I fell in love with that genre the moment it was introduced to me. I even started producing what I call nerdy club music, which is just Jersey club or Baltimore club with nerdy like themes and stuff. So it's, those two shows, that's it.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
Oh, most interesting person I've met through DJing. So this is going to sound silly because this is totally a nerd answer. I met the voice actress that does Amethyst from Steven Universe. And she was more excited to meet me than I was to meet her, which I thought was really funny. But she is a wild personality, really great person. So I'm going to say her. I've met so many other like celebrities and people that I've run into, but that's probably the coolest one. I have an opportunity to meet the Black Ranger, the original Mighty Morphin Power Black Ranger, because of what I do. So that would have been my answer if I'd have already met him.
What's one thing you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
One thing that I think is missing live streaming for DJs. This is actually something that I've been trying to figure out myself. A location, like an actual like venue to let all the DJs come through centralized and to pretty much have everything already set up for the streaming. Cause I want to throw my own like festival. That's something I've been wanting to do. And I know some locations do have the ability to do something like this. There are venues down south that I know have been doing stuff like this because I have friends that have been performing down there. But if there was a place, you know, for everybody that was just one location where you could get, you know, five DJs, everybody's masked up, social distancing, hand sanitizer, all that stuff, where we could just come through and put on one heck of a show online for people. Cause I know people are still starving for entertainment and we're here. We see you. We want to party with you.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally, whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
Big shout out to Kenzie Black, another kawaii nerdy DJ based out of Philly. I'm gonna say a big shout out to my buddy DJ Twiz, up and coming DJ. I kind of gave him one of his first gigs, and from there he has just been shooting himself up. My buddy Giku out of Columbus, Ohio. Oh man, who else do I want to give a shout out to? I feel like I'm gonna forget so many people. If you're listening to this, I'm so sorry if I forgot you.
And that's okay. We look forward to hearing all their stories. And any DJ that's interested, they can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
So I am on Twitch. Pretty much all my social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, if you really want. My TikTok's kind of empty. Twitch, it's all at DJ Awesomest Prime. I don't know if I need to spell that for you.
Don't worry, we'll have it in the show notes. And thank you so much. This has been a really great interview. Everyone, please check out my brother, Awesomest Prime. He's in Jersey with me. He loves anime like me. This is my brother. Please check him out, support him. I'm really glad to have you on the show. Thank you for sharing your story.